Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. This is Donna Sebo talking with you from the far north of Fairbanks, Alaska. Yes, where we are up to our noses in snow, if you can believe that. Yes, the white stuff. The white stuff that's supposed to be gone this time of the year. But here in Fairbanks, that's not the case. This is one of three winters when the winter has gone up until the first part of May. We thought it was sort of going away yesterday, but then overnight, we had another blast of the white stuff. Quite a bit, in fact. Donna Sebo here, and I'm delighted that you're able to join me this morning. We're trying to reach our guest, Anise Brockley, and we were going to be talking about the autoimmune system. We haven't been able to reach her this morning, but we are going to open up the phone lines, first of all, 888-627-6008, if you wanted to talk with me today. But also, I wanted to discuss the autoimmune system. Inasmuch as Anise, for whatever reason, we haven't been able to reach her, this is an issue that's a very, very big issue. Because we have so many things that are affecting us today. We have, in one sense, in the view of medical science, sort of eradicated to the best of their awareness. Smallpox, we have vaccinations for chickenpox, measles, we have all kinds of things that have done away with, again, diseases like diphtheria, which is horrible stuff, typhoid fever, Rocky Mountain fever. There are so many different elements that our ancestors faced. I know my grandmother got typhoid when she was about 19 years old, and she was so ill that they had to pack her in ice. That's the only reason she survived, because her fever was just outrageous. She had long, long, long black, jet black hair. All of her hair fell out. All of her teeth fell out. They turned black. They rotted it right in her mouth because of typhoid. And she ended up surviving it. Well, naturally, because of losing all of her teeth, she had to wear false teeth all of her life. And her hair came back, but it came back like salt and pepper in its color. And it stayed that way all of her life. She lived to be 91, 92 years of age. Well, it seems like every generation ends up battling new conditions. They end up battling new components of disease. Today, we are seeing so many autoimmune diseases. We are looking at lupus, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis. Yes, that's considered an autoimmune disease. Hashimoto's, type 2 diabetes, MS, and the list goes on and on and on. Well, there's some interesting research that has been done. And I wanted to share some points of information that just this morning I was reviewing. Finland has the highest rate of type 1 diabetes among children, not adults, but children. Out of every 100,000 Finnish children, 64 are diagnosed annually with diabetes 1. So they say, what is this? What's going on with it? Well, we know nutrition has a great deal to do with this. But stop and think of it. This was something that was literally non-existent among the Finns in the past. But today, this is progressing, and it's affecting the children much more than the adults. Also, it is something that most of the industrialized world is seeing this kind of a condition. Now, here, I know with all of the research that we have gone through and what we're aware of, diabetes basically can be totally reversed with a change in diet. So that shows us how very important it is. What we put in our mouths affects every organ in our body, and we need to be aware of this. Well, they started to do some questioning, and they wanted to know why there are elements and environments where certain people, certain groupings of people, are developing a condition and others are not. They are looking at this regarding autoimmune diseases of all kinds, allergies. We have so many people that are developing allergies that we never even thought they would ever develop. I knew of a nurse who worked in a hospital. She got to a point where she could not even smell a disinfectant. She would get violently ill. Now, she had had a tremendous amount of exposure in the hospital environment to those components that for her system became very toxic. She's not the only one. There are many people in the medical profession that are finding that they themselves are beginning to experience illnesses if they have not already gone through this. I know of a hairdresser who, she's one of the best hairdressers that I've ever been aware of. She can only cut hair now. She can't even use shampoos because she has become highly allergic. She will die if she's exposed to the chemicals in a hair salon. All right, now you think about that. You think about being in a hair salon, women, men, barbers don't seem to be affected very much by this, but you're talking about a regular hair salon. You have your permanents, you have your hair dyes, you have all kinds of things that you are constantly in contact with. It's not like once a month or something like this. This is on a daily basis where you're exposed to it. There is a gentleman I know of in the dry cleaning business. He's reached a point where physically he is ill, and it's because of the chemicals that he's exposed to. And his system has not been able to handle the overload. Think about it for just a minute. It is what we're dealing with. Well, one of the things that occurred is some researchers in Germany were trying to figure out what was going on in Munich, because they have a challenge with pollution and respiratory disease. So in 1989, the Berlin Wall comes down, and for the first time since the 1940s, those that were researching in Germany decided, let's see what we can do to go into East Germany and find out what it is that is making the difference here. Now, they chose a community called Leipzig, and this area of country around Leipzig in East Germany was loaded with chemical plants, open pit coal mines. People were heating their homes at that time, if you can imagine, with coal. They used coal burning ovens. And here, you would expect, in this environment that was just black with coal dust, had all kinds of problems. Compared with Munich, they fully expected they were going to see a lot of intense autoimmune respiratory pollution problems. So they studied hundreds of East German school children. They were shocked. Do you know, the young people of Leipzig had slightly lower rates of asthma than those that were in Bavaria. And hay fever, it was really, really low. Pollen allergies, very, very low. And they said, what's going on here? Well, the researcher, von Mutius, came across a paper that was written by a British physician. And this physician had studied the medical records of about 17,000 British children for clues to what caused allergies later in life. And they found that the kids that had a lot of older brothers and sisters ended up having lower rates of hay fever, eczema. They just didn't have the challenges that other children had. And the doctor, the British physician, said they felt that it was because these children had been exposed to colds, to flus, all kinds of things that their siblings were bringing in. And for any of you that have children, you know what it's like whenever they go into preschool. Oh, my goodness, they get every bug around. And they bring it home. Grandma, if she's around, will get it. Everybody ends up getting what the kids get. Well, believe it or not, this is part of the building of the immune system. None of us like to be sick, believe it. I know that. But the immune system has to have a chance to be able to build up its own resistance, to know how to fight what needs to be fought. And they said they wondered if air pollution must somehow have protected the East Germans from respiratory diseases. Now, isn't that an odd question to ask? Pollution. We don't want pollution. How can that protect? Well, there are studies coming in from around the world. But they said it was the dirt that children played in that had all kinds of microbes in it. How many times for us who have been mothers, you go, oh, go, you got to stay out of the dirt. We don't want you to be there. There's all kinds of stuff. You can get sick. We don't want you. How many of us walk around with the antibacterial stuff that you rub on your hands? It's guaranteed to kill 99% of germs, all kinds of things. Well, it's interesting. Air pollution didn't seem to make a difference. It's dirt. And there are so many kids that don't even play in dirt anymore. They don't know what it's like. They have no idea. They're not out in the forests very much. They don't have a chance to really get out and be around. Our world has evolved into a much different place. Well, they found in Arizona, which, by the way, Arizona at one time was a place that people that had allergies wanted to go to. Well, guess what? When people moved to Arizona, they brought their world with them. They brought their plants. They brought all kinds of things. Now, Arizona, there are so many people in Arizona that have allergies. It's amazing. Well, they did a study in Arizona of more than 1,000 babies, and they found in this study that unless parents also had asthma, living in houses with dogs, that's right, those adorable four-pawed furry creatures reduced wheezing and allergies later in life. And they say the more microbial agents that children are exposed to early in life, the less likely they are to develop allergies and autoimmune diseases later on. They also tested this with mice. Now, I know you're not a mouse, but I do think that we need to be aware we're all interconnected. So the discovery has been that air pollution is a red herring. And East Germany's children, though they were in this terribly polluted environment, that being in daycare and being around each other, even if they got a cold, that type of thing, they were able to build a very, very strong immune system. Now, this is what they say. At birth, your immune cells make up an aggressive army with no sense of who its enemies are. But the more bad guys the immune system is exposed to during life's early years, the more discerning it gets. Your immune system is programmed within the first 2 years of your life. Actually, it's working your entire life. But its programming, its primary understanding of how to work is so important. And with less early infection, the immune system has, well, doesn't have a lot to do. So then it starts looking for where it can work. It's an amazing thing about the body. And sometimes the immune system will overreact to things it should really just not even pay attention to, like cat dander, eggs, peanuts, pollen. There's those allergies. But sometimes the immune system turns on itself, and it'll attack the cells. For example, going full circle back to diabetes, that we need to produce insulin or hair follicles or the nervous system, MS, autoimmune disorders. But you know what? this is fairly new stuff when it comes to medical science. Now, if it was around, it was in a very minor level. In today's world, because of technology, we are becoming much more consciously aware of what goes on with our bodies and in the world around us. And it is so important for us to understand sometimes we're not aware of certain things, primarily because we didn't have the technology to study it. Today, that is what's going on. Now, a lot of people years ago lived on farms or in the countryside. Antibiotics hadn't been invented. Big families, children spent more time outside, which is true. Now, a lot of people couldn't afford shoes. Kids would get worms, things like this. But it gave the immune system a workout. Kids had to grow through things. One of the things that's not being recognized, though, in some of this information, is that we have more children surviving today than any other time of our known history. Used to be a good 50% or more of children died. Mothers died because of infection, because we didn't know what to do with things. And what we're finding now is instead of being in the middle of the road, we've gone to such an extreme. We try to keep everything absolutely sterile. Sanitation is one of the things that has enabled most of us to live longer, healthier lives. On the other hand, we've ended up creating some artificial environments that have created a toxicity. So here we are now in a different area of awareness. We are becoming aware we are creating a toxicity, a poisonous soup in our air, in our earth, and in so many other ways. It's not meant to be totally sterile, but we're affecting other life forms as well. So there's so much about life that is so important for us to pay attention to. Pre-hygiene, they talk about this, and they say in a lot of areas of the world where there's not strict hygiene, they will talk about how certain diseases aren't there. But I do know for a fact they have other diseases that wipe groups of people out. So we're always going to go through a balancing act, and that's something we need to understand. So we need to be able to honor and respect both ourselves and our environment. I found it interesting that on one hand, when we were dealing with issues like typhoid fever, diphtheria, polio, so many things that were so devastating that paralyzed and killed, those that were able to survive, it seemed to produce a stronger genetic package. However, at the same time, you can weaken that package genetically when you try to insulate it from too much, or you create toxins that are poisonous, that create havoc within your environment, whether it's in the soil, the food, which obviously food has to be grown in, it affects the fish that we eat from the sea. All of this is coming full circle to us. So many times when we have information that crosses our desk, when we become aware of variables, we have to be able to look at things with an eye for balance. It's easy to go into extremes. But remember, you take care of your body, you nourish yourself well, and your body's going to be able to perform for you. If you are going to have children, if it is something you want to do, take care of yourself physically. I think so many times children inherit certain patterns from the mother, especially if she's not taking good care of herself. I know that happened in my family. When I was born, my mother was in the best health possible. She hadn't gotten into a patterning of starving herself, which was the California thing to do. And what occurred is that when I was born, I inherited a very healthy genetic package. When my brother was born 5 years later, my mother was anemic. She was barely eating because she wanted to keep a perfect figure. She did not experience, apparently, a very good pregnancy. 5 years in her life experience, her wellness level deteriorated quite a bit. My brother, when he was born, was sickly. you take care of yourself makes a big difference. And it affected him his entire life. He did not enjoy a strength and a stamina physically that I was able to enjoy. And he passed away a few years ago because of an internal issue. And this is something that when we women choose to bring children into the world, we need to remember how we take care of ourselves, what we take in, the exercise we do, our mental emotions, all of this makes a big difference. It's going to have a tremendous impact on the child's well-being. They will inherit a stronger genetic package. If you don't, you're going to also affect that child very strongly. And that's another reason why women need to be able to nurse the babies. Because in nursing a child, the mother's milk has naturally the immunities that the mother is carrying herself. And if your immunities are weak, that easily will be seen in the child. Maybe not. Maybe there will be a cocktail, an immune cocktail, that the child will somehow or another develop. The human body is absolutely amazing, and I just think that it's important for us to remember we have new conditions because that's the way life is. It is something that we're never going to be exempt or have a perfect life where everything just flows absolutely without any disharmony. In fact, I have a wonderful story about a little girl that I will be sharing with you in just a moment that shows how because of technology and because of someone thinking outside of the box, daring to try something new, we're making strides in medicine that are just absolutely wonderful. We've not been able to reach my guest, Anise Broccoli, so the phone lines are open. Donna Siebel broadcasting here from Fairbanks, Alaska, 627-6008, preceded by 888. That's right, 888-627-6008. Give me a call, and by golly, we will have a chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I did want to share with you some information about this two-year-old girl. This is out of Chicago. She was born without a windpipe. Can you imagine that? Just wasn't there. No windpipe. She's the youngest patient in the world to benefit from an experimental treatment, and this is what it is. They grew a windpipe for this little girl from her own stem cells. That's right. This is a groundbreaking happening. They didn't manufacture it from something outside of this child's body. It was manufactured from cells from within her body. Her name is Hannah, and she has not been able to breathe, eat, drink, or swallow since she was born in South Korea in 2010. And she was operated on in Illinois, at a Central Illinois hospital. Her entire life, this little girl has spent in a hospital in Seoul, Korea. Now, when this child is born, the doctors told the parents, this little girl is not going to survive, period. Well, she didn't die. They did something for her where she did continue to live. The stem cells came from Hannah's bone marrow. They had a very, very special needle, went into her hip bone. The cells were seeded into a lab onto a plastic scaffold. These cells, now this blew my mind, these cells took less than a week to multiply and create a windpipe for this little girl. And they say, if you can imagine a 3-inch piece of penne pasta, they implanted it on April the 9th. It took 9 hours. Can you imagine operating on this tiny, tiny person? 9 hours of surgery. Do you know what? That windpipe grown from her own stem cells is working. She's still on a ventilator, but they believe she is going to be able to go home. The body will probably be accepting of this since it comes from her stem cells. And I've got a picture of her in front of me, these great big dark eyes. And she is just absolutely adorable. She's recovering from the surgery. She did get an infection, but they have been able to work with that. And the family can hardly believe it. They're going to have their little girl probably at home. Now, this is an extremely rare condition, extremely rare. There's only one in 50,000 children worldwide that are ever born with this kind of a defect. And the stem cell technique that they used, they have been using to make other body parts besides windpipes. And the scientists and doctors that are working on this realize that this kind of a breakthrough is phenomenal. Children that might have defective hearts or not have certain organs, they can take healthy cells, regrow an organ, so that then it can be transplanted into the body. And think of it for adults. Look at the tens of thousands of people around the world that need liver transplants. For whatever reason, because of disease, could be alcoholism, anything, the livers are unhealthy. Taking healthy cells, growing healthy organs from the cells of your own body, to me, now they've been working on this for a long time. I can remember watching programming about this years ago, and the Israelis had developed a growing of skin for burn victims. And transplanting that. It's amazing what they're able to do. And when you're able to have a transplant from your own cells, the body is less likely to fight with it. So you won't have to have as severe an infection battle. Amazing days we're living in. Amazing times. And it's something, again, as I mentioned before, there's a lot of information that will come out, but we need to balance it with the understanding of what our ancestors experienced before. And we have a lot to be grateful for in our world today. We are able to have access to food. We are able to have access to so many things, including very, very good medical care in many instances. But on the other hand, we need to be aware of our own personal responsibility of taking care of ourselves, of making sure that we give ourselves that loving care that we need, and never forgetting the mind-body-spirit connection, because it all integrates into this. Illness, is it ever going to really go away? I don't think so. It just seems to be a part of life experience on this planet that we live on, and maybe I'll be proven wrong in my lifetime. But there's a fascinating thing about the experience of life. Just when we think we know it all, it comes along and surprises us. This is Donna Siebel broadcasting to you live from, well, snow-covered Fairbanks, Alaska, as I'm looking out on the scene of white that's around me. If you're enjoying warmer temperatures, well, enjoy them. Don't begrudge them, because the people up here in the far north, well, winter is lasting a lot longer than they ever imagined it would. This is Donna Siebel here. We're going to take a break for a moment, and when we come back, well, again, those phone lines are open. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books? And collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Siebel, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5000. 5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. As I've mentioned, I'm in the far north, Fairbanks, Alaska, and I will be here through tomorrow afternoon, and then I'll be flying into Anchorage. And for those of you in Fairbanks listening to the show, if you would like to meet with me while I'm here in the Fairbanks area, give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604. And for those of you in Anchorage, the same number. I will be in Anchorage through May the 6th. I wanted to give a quote by Thomas McGean. He's an author. He said, I had been raised to believe that time delivers our dreams and quietly carries our nightmares away, and that most of what lies ahead is welcoming and serene. What a wonderful affirmation, isn't it? Believing that dreams, well, with time, they're going to come our way, they'll be fulfilled, and whatever nightmares we may have, quietly carried away, and what lies ahead is welcoming and serene. Why don't we shift that into the present? That where we are right now welcomes us, and that serenity is a part of us right here, right now, with where we are in life. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, all I need is your first name or initial, and then after that, well, sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive. And if you have a question, great time to ask it when I finish. And again, give me a call at 888-627-6008. Well, it's because of technology that we are able to do this show as we are, no matter where I may be traveling to. Technology is a wonderful thing. Well, sometimes we need to get rid of old technology that we might have. What about things that break? Your smartphones, your computers, maybe an MP3 player, game consoles. Well, I was amazed. I know there's always the recycling facilities that you can go to, and usually you have to pay them. But do you know cell phones, if it's dead or has some problems, you can get $25 up to $100 by going to a couple of businesses. Their websites are buymytronics.com, buymytronics.com, and then gorooster.com, that's gorooster.com. Well, you may wonder, why do they want to buy them? Well, the broken phones usually are refurbished and then resold. That's right. So you can type in the model of your phone or your equipment, describe the problem it has, and you'll get a quote from either one of these websites. And this is how you take care of getting it to them. If you accept what they're offering you in payment, you print out a prepaid mailing label and ship it off, and you'll get a check or a PayPal payment after it's received. Is that good? You bet. What about your computers, the tablets, the e-readers? Well, they are hot, yes, even if they don't turn on. Many are refurbished, just like the cell phones. Others, they need for repair parts. Now, think about that. There are a lot of people that want something repaired. I know of a group that's in my own neighborhood. They have so much business, people say, why should I throw something away? Why don't you just repair the part? So they go on a search for parts. And believe it or not, it's not all that easy to find. So they will sell, you can sell yours. Here's a couple of other sites, buybackworld.com, buybackworld.com, or nextworth.com, next, N-E-X-T, worth.com. And they'll tell you how much it is valued at, dependent on the condition. You can list your items on ebay.com or on craigslist.com. But the computer repair facilities are always looking for parts, and that's something we need to remember. So what you have, instead of just dumping it, putting it in a recycle bin that may end up going to China, why not find a company that's going to be able to use the parts. MP3 player. Well, if your glass is cracked, it won't play. You can get anywhere from $5 to $35 from it because companies, again, refurbishing, using the parts. And you can go to usell.com and you do the same thing. Type in the make and model and its condition. They'll list websites, what they're currently willing to pay, and you got a sale. What about a video game console? Well, no matter what the brand, it goes anywhere from $8 to $30 for just turning them in. And if it's broken, they will give you an amount. And you go to the checkout, select whether you want to be paid via, again, PayPal or check. And you, just like the others, you'll get a prepaid mailing label. They'll send it via email. And there you go. This is something that is very, very important because it puts a little bit of money in your pocket. And unless a company that you have your equipment from offers to do a trade or give you a discount on a new item. So it's up to you, but you've got options to work with. And I think that's important. One security detail that I do want to mention. If you have any equipment that is computerized where credit card information has been processed on it, printers, anything of this type, you must make sure that that system is erased. And that can cost you up to $25 to go to some place that has special equipment to digitally erase your hard drive. And I was talking to a computer repairman not too long ago, and we have two computers in our office, two printers. And the one I found, he said, you won't have to worry about erasing anything on this one because of its particular model type. It doesn't store. It did not store very much information. But we have a newer printer. And he said, on this one, you must have it erased because if you put tax returns, anything like that on there, it's going to have it in the computer system. So you need to be aware that anything, if you have a merchant processing machine, anything like this, you want to be sure that you do not put it out there without having that computer hard drive removed. If you can remove it and just smash the hard drive up, that's a great thing. Or have it erased, but you'll be paying someone to do that. So if you know how to take it out and just smash the hard drive, that's even better. That's a better way of working with it. Donna Sebo here, broadcasting from Fairbanks, Alaska. Telephone number to call into if you'd like to chat with me today, 888-627-6008. Well, we're coming close to summer. Before we know it, it's going to be that wonderful time of the year where the sun is out. Believe me, here in Fairbanks, we're really hoping for that pretty soon. But you want to travel. You want to go someplace different. You want to break up the routine of everyday life. But you start looking at your budget, and you go, I don't know that I can afford this. Plane fares are so expensive. What can I do? Where can I go? Well, I know one family of four that saved up over $2,000 to be able to go to Disneyland in California. And they said they know it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for them. Their kids are growing up. They didn't want to miss this. They had a blast. But for 4 days, that was $2,000. And Mom had saved for almost 2 years so that this could be done. And she said, we want to go. We want to have a blast. And they were able to find certain deals where they were able to do this trip. But she said, it's not inexpensive. And if you buy food there and you have, if you want any souvenirs, you've got to have the cash available so that you're not going to put things on credit cards. Well, you can check around in so many different parts of the country and find out about many, many wonderful experiences. They might be in your own backyard. First, if you're going to be traveling, you may need to check out various hotel rates in advance, and if you can book in advance, that's one way of saving money. But vacation rentals are really a hot item right now. Lots of times people are grouping up with others and saying, I really want to do something where maybe we can get a condo or we can be in an environment where we're going to be able to share expenses but have a kitchen so we're not eating out in restaurants all the time. Now, if you're in a position where this isn't a concern to you, that's wonderful. But I know with as much traveling as I've done, lots of times I don't want to eat out. I really like being able to choose the food I want to eat, so having a kitchen is absolutely wonderful. So lots of times there are some wonderful sites. A couple of them are flipkey.com and homeaway.com. This is one of many, many websites that you could check out. But look at how your dollars can be stretched more effectively. If you have kids, museums, zoos, various animal facilities, like in the Pacific Northwest, we have the Wolf Haven. We have Northwest Trek, where you can go see animals in their own environment. California, you have various wonderful places that you can go to. And there's places in Tennessee, Washington, D.C. There's so many places around the country that have these phenomenal environments. And they're relatively inexpensive when you're looking at the bigger picture. And if you have kids, if you can take them to environments where they're exposed to new things, learning options of different types, it's invigorating, it's fun. And you don't have to be a millionaire to have a wonderful vacation. One of the things I think that's great to explore, especially if you have a family, is that you look at what's in your own neighborhood. Maybe your kids have never gone fishing. Maybe there are things that they've never done. I know in Seattle we have a science center for kids where they can actively be involved. There are so many different things in so many places that can be close to home that don't have to cost you a fortune, and you can have a wonderful experience. And I think when you're an adult, if you don't have kids around you, have a sense of adventure. Go to your local automobile club. Check out at your library. I'm a strong supporter, as those of you who listen to the show know, of libraries. Research. Find out what's in your own backyard. Because gasoline is very expensive at this time. And so that's going to be a big part of your traveling budget if you're going to be going by vehicle anywhere. So these are things, there are places that you can go to, things that you can do for the summer vacation that will be absolutely invigorating for you. And you will have a marvelous experience meeting new people, experiencing maybe foods, environments that you've never had a chance to see before. And it will be an adventure of a lifetime. So summertime is coming. This is a good time to make your plans, to start that budget, so that when you do take that summer vacation, you're going to enjoy it to its fullest without unnecessary stress or strain. Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are open. 888-627-6008 is the number to call into. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about a subject that is just hair-raising. And I say this because my guest, Jean Hitchcock, her book is called True Crime Online. I am telling you, this is unbelievable. I went through this book, and it just was amazing to me. I think whenever you see what you consider the darker side of life, it makes you aware that there are a lot of people in this world, fortunately they're in the minority, but still they work very hard at creating havoc in the lives of other people. They have no conscience about this, absolutely none. It's a game to them. And they don't think they're going to be caught, but they will be caught eventually. Well, we're going to find out how we as individuals can be awake and alert as to what can be going on and how to protect ourselves. On Friday, we're going to be talking with Scott Lesnick, and this man's story is an amazing one. We often hear about children being kidnapped, taken out of their homes by a parent. Frequently, it is a father that is the kidnapper. Well, believe it or not, it can be grandparents, it can be mothers. And in this case, that is what happened. It was a mother that kidnapped children, took them into another country. And this is his story, a about how he was able to get his children back. I think you'll find it really, really interesting. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break for a minute, broadcasting from Fairbanks, Alaska. We'll come back and have more good things to share with you, so don't go away. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, is 888-627-6008. Well, there are so many wonderful concepts that people have. I've been talking earlier in the hour about the medical concepts, a little girl, the age of two, her own stem cells creating a windpipe. But sometimes we have to look at the mind part. And I was reviewing an article in the local paper up here, and I thought this was really a good idea. And I thought this is something dealing with the mind and emotions, that somebody just came up with this concept up here. And I thought, this is a great idea. Now, how many of you have ever done an exercise called the Burning Bowl Ceremony? In many churches, it's done as part of a New Year's Eve service. And when I first became acquainted with this many years ago, I thought at the time, this is a great idea. Now, what is the exercise? The exercise is you take a piece of paper and you write down whatever has agonized you, traumatized you, caused heartbreak, what you would consider the negative in your life. And you take the time to write it out. This is what you want to be able to release. This is what you want to be able to get rid of. And you then roll it up and put it into a bowl, and you burn it and you let it go. You let go of this stuff. Well, up here at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, they had what they called a post-secret project. And they've got it on display. And this is what they did. And it is just amazing when I look at this display. They ask people to participate in this project by telling the biggest secret that they had, putting it on a postcard in a Dropbox that they had at the university. And they're not to put their name on it. They're not to put anything on it but the secret that they carry inside of themselves. And they have just had an amazing response. They had this project. It was developed by five students in the psychology department. And the reason these five students put this together is because they became aware of how people were afraid to ask for help. Now think of that. Have you ever been that way? I have. When you were in maybe a very ugly situation and you needed help and nobody was aware of the agony that you were carrying inside of yourself because you felt you were the only person in the world going through this stuff. Boy, I can remember having that feeling more than once, especially when I was younger. And these students got phenomenal responses. And some of the cards they got were decorated. Those people that contributed their cards, they make drawings on them, they put flowers on them. And this is what some of the people said. On one card, it was, "I still haven't forgiven him for my C-section scars. He's 9. Now think about this. This is a woman that because she had to have a cesarean, her body was defaced. This is something that has haunted her. And her thoughts of, if I hadn't had a baby, I wouldn't have these scars. Subconsciously, Now, she loves her child, but this is subconscious stuff that eats away. She sees herself as ugly. Someone else said, I think it's my fault my cousin is in a treatment center. On this card, there's green grass, a beautiful pink heart, some flowers that were drawn. This tells you this is a loving person, but there's something they did. Maybe they introduced their cousin to drugs or alcohol. Maybe they introduced their cousin to someone that created an environment that the cousin chose to be a part of. Think about these things. This person is carrying this inside themselves. They shouldn't, but they are. But if they talk to somebody about it who is non-judgmental, maybe they could release this stigma. Another person said, whenever a disaster occurs, I think it helps overpopulation. Now think about that one. This is a person that feels badly because when they see something like this, tens, thousands, you know, maybe 100,000 people are affected. Their thought is, that's less people on the earth. They feel guilty because of this thought. All of these little things like this can eat away at us as people. And another person wrote, I'm afraid my true passion won't get me anywhere in life. How many of us would harbor that? Something we absolutely love. Something that for us brings us a joy every time we do it, we're around it, we're involved with what is our passion. But I'm afraid that my passion won't get me anywhere in life. Oh my goodness. That is a big one. That happens with so many people. How many times are we told when we're growing up, be practical, which is not a wrong thought. There's nothing wrong with that thought. But I think of a man who I knew who was a butcher at a major grocery store chain. He was a butcher for years, but he had a passion, and that passion was sculpting with wood. His wife would joke. She always knew where to find him. She never had to worry about another woman in their life because she always knew where he was going to be in the garage. Well, this man came to a point in his life where he was able to retire from being a butcher. His passion was carving decoys, carving ducks. I remember when I saw his work, I was stunned. I thought they were going to quack. I mean, they were so beautifully, magnificently done. He's won national awards. But his passion came to life at a time in his life that he didn't imagine, but he never gave up on his passion. Think of that person. If they could talk to someone again who was non-judgmental, if they gave up the feeling of hopelessness, their life could completely change. They could see where whatever that passion was, whether it was creating the perfect hard-boiled egg or talking to chipmunks, whatever it might be, it doesn't make any difference. They could still do what they love. And then the last one that I'm looking at, I stole a dog to give it to a better home with someone else. This is someone that saw an animal that they felt was abused. They took that animal out of that environment and then knew a home where it could be given and where that animal would be loved. There might be a way that they could ease their own conscience if they talk to someone and take and make the amends as it could be done in a way that would be suitable for them. And they would have this off of their shoulders in their mind. We all have things that we may have regrets for. So we may not have a project like this, Post Your Secret. But this, in a way, I think, liberated a lot of people because they put their secret out there. Nobody knows who did it, and they really don't care. The the game was, and I call it a game, is to make it okay to let go of what hasn't worked in your past. You need to remember that. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be talking to you same time right here in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I look forward to having you join me because we're going to be talking about crime on the Internet. I think you'll find it interesting. Donna Siebel here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.